Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Beamer in for Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Financial guys are in for me, and Bowerly's in for Bowerly. Yesterday, I talked with legislator Lindsay Lurigo on the proposed budget, and today we're talking with Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Great to be here.
Let's just, from at the beginning here, the proposed budget. You know, at first look, your takeaways.
Problem is not this year's budget. And I think the county executive has highlighted this. It's the out year budgets. If you look at the 4-year plan that the county executive is required to put the submit with his annual budget, it's not too rosy down the road. There are some huge budget gaps beginning in a couple years. It's normal in these 4-year plans to see a budget gap of $2 or $3 million in the out years, maybe as much as $10 million. Those are closable by the time you get there. You know, you've had conditions change and you're able to find solutions to that. These ones that we're looking at down the road are pretty massive, and I think the county executive knows that, and he's been highlighting that in the interviews that he's been doing. I mean, the big question here down the road is the uncertainty. There is so much uncertainty surrounding the impact of the so-called big beautiful bill. And the cutbacks that'll be made there, that'll be passed along to the states, it'll probably be passed along to the counties, and it's sort of thing you won't know till you get there. So you have to start planning ahead.
You know, this budget, $2.28 billion, Kevin, I can't help but think only $1 million's going to the bills. Shouldn't there be some kind of decrease with $6.7 million less going to that obligation starting next year?
Well, that's in the grand scheme of things, with the increase in costs ranging from social services to the money that we're setting aside for capital projects like the new consolidated jail. That kind of gets lost in there.
Do you think the jail, the consolidated jail, and the money going towards the design and engineering plan, is the county doing this not only the right way, but the cheapest way possible?
No, I have a problem with this. And I'm quoted in the Buffalo News this morning calling for the legislature to put the brakes on this thing, to make sure that if we're going to go down this road, that it's with a lot of thought and a lot of discussion and involving everybody in the community. The $20 million that's going to be in this year's budget or next year's budget, proposed budget, is for additional design work. You know, this is not $100,000 or $200,000 for a feasibility study. This is $20 million. You know, you're talking real money here. Once you commit that sort of money, it's going to be very difficult a year or two down the road to say, nah, we're not going to do this anymore. You know, it's like we're all in for the full cost of the jail, which has gone up. It's depending on the point in time, it's 420 or 430 million, 470 million. You know, we're probably looking at a $500 million project at least by the time it gets done, because these things, like the Bills Stadium, only go up in price as time goes on. That's going to have an impact down the road. Obviously, we're going to have to borrow that money. You know, with the Bills Stadium, we had a lot of help with that. I mean, the county share was $250 million. The state put in $400 million, and the Pagulas and the NFL and the Bills made up the rest. And the rest turned out to be a lot of money. And that's fine. But here, unless we identify some other source of funds, we're going to have this on the county taxpayers' back. And so your increase, we've done some, you know, back of an envelope math here, and the increase in your annual debt service, that's the amount of money, it's like your mortgage payment is what it is going to be about $30 million a year for this thing, starting a couple years down the road, you know, when we need the money, when we bond and we build it. That's the sort of thing, before you do that, you better be darn sure that that's the right way to go, that you can't, as you say, do it cheaper. Now, there's no question we have to do something. The current situation with the jail and the holding center, unsustainable. There's no question we have to do something. The question is this what we have to do? And, you know, I heard, you know, Legislator Lurigo yesterday exhibiting some skepticism, and I guess I would join her in doing so.
You know, also, we talked about the new jobs that were created and the real estate division that's going to identify county-owned parcels, determine whether they can be sold or otherwise transferred. Mm-hmm. Again, talking about bringing money in. But isn't that kind of something that lands within the clerk's office for jobs that are already being paid for?
Yeah, I'm probably not the person to talk to about the clerk's office, given our past audits there and some of the work we continue to do there. And by the way, we're making progress there, and the clerk has taken our suggestions to heart. And I think the clerk's office is better today than it was, you know, a couple years ago. That is, you know, the whole real estate division question is one that the legislature, like the jail, should spend a considerable amount of time talking about, certainly. But in the end, that's going to be up to the legislature and the executive. That's their role.
You know, Kevin, obviously this, I would love to ask the county executive this question, but he won't come on, so I'm asking you the question. You know, you talk about down the road and the question marks for the next budget, yet the county went all in on a golf course in Amherst that is now going to be 7 new jobs for that golf course. Doesn't that seem kind of irresponsible, knowing the question marks coming up?
You know, that's a matter of your perspective. If you're a resident of Amherst, and I know a lot of there are a number of people in Amherst that have brought a lawsuit to try to stop the transfer of that property. If I'm a resident of Amherst, I'm loving it, because the county has just agreed to come in and put a beautiful county park there, and the county parks. The county park system is beautiful. I mean, we've put a lot of time and effort and money into the county park system in the last few years. And if you've been to a county park system, any one of those county parks, you can see it and you can appreciate that. Whether that was a good move for the county to create an additional park, in the end, we'll have another beautiful facility. Is it worth the money we're spending there? And again, that's a question where folks are going to differ on that. In the end, that's another decision, again, made by the legislature and the executive.
You know, I look at the $2.28 billion, and I think this is a county of under 1 million people. Am I stuck in thinking that, you know, a billion's a lot of money? I mean, $2.28 billion for a county the size of Erie does seem quite massive.
What $2.8 billion are we talking about now, Joe?
This says the operating budget, $2.28 billion, according to the Buffalo News.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a figure with all funds. Now, realize that it's a little bit misleading whenever we talk about the size of the county budget, because a significant amount of that, about $500 million or more, is sales tax that comes in. We account for it and we turn around and we give it out to the school districts and the towns and the villages and the cities. So that's money that comes in, and yes, it's part of our budget, but that's the shared sales tax revenue. Okay. So that's part of it, which artificially inflates the size of the thing. Now, when you're trying to impress people, you want to include that, that money in there, even though, it's spoken for already and it just passes through.
But, I look at the jobs that are already being paid, and in this budget, we're adding 17 entirely new positions, 81 more full-time positions. I mean, Kevin, this is part of your job. I mean, could the county be productive cutting jobs rather than adding jobs?
Well, again, Joe, that's a question for the county legislature. Now, every year since I've been in office, we receive the county budget by October 15th when it's sent over to the legislature. We got our copy yesterday morning, October 15th. In about a month, the Erie County Legislature will have budget hearings, and they will call the various department heads in and ask them to justify their budgets. And the news media will be there, and the public can attend those things. Those are, when those questions will be asked. Every year, just before they start those mid-year budget hearings, so it's around November 15th, maybe, November 10th, I have my staff put together a memo or a letter from me going through the budget, item by item, and giving our take on it. Obviously, having just gotten the thing yesterday, we haven't had time to do that, but, stay tuned. That'll be coming in a few weeks.
Years ago, I remember you sounded the alarm on the budget, right? You made some recommendations. Is it time for something like that again? We hear so much about the question marks for the next year, and I know the current administration and the Rath Building wants to blame the president. Are we heading towards another comptroller message like that?
Well, I think to varying degrees, I've sent that message every year. I've certainly, and that's the letter that I'm talking about sending over in a few weeks. We refer to it in the office as my gloom and doom letter. And certainly we'll be sounding the warnings, and certainly there's a lot more fodder there for it this year, because, again, I think the county executive acknowledged that yesterday. That we have, some unknowns out there that give everybody pause, including the county executive, and he was right to highlight them. Not the least of which is the impact of the big, beautiful bill, which we won't know until it gets there. I mean, right now it doesn't look too rosy. Will Congress act to change some things between now and then? I certainly hope so, but that remains to be seen. And until you know, you have to prepare for the worst. And I think that's what the county executive was sort of doing yesterday with his press conference, was preparing folks for, the worst.
But is it fair to say all the shortfalls of the next budget are on the backs of Republicans and the president? Is that a fair statement?
No, absolutely not. There are other increases in expenditures there that occur year over year that are going to occur in any municipal budget. You're giving your employees raises. You have public employee union contracts, and you have to make good on them. You also have additional expenses from other things. I mean, you do have to fix roads and bridges and the like. Those costs are going to go up. Inflation is still out there, so some of those costs are going to be there regardless. again, what I tried to do yesterday in my interview with Sandra Tan is highlight one area where there is a huge cost that you can't tie to the big, beautiful bill. And that is the proposal for the new consolidated jail and holding center, because that's, it's going to be bonded this year, the 20 million for the design work. But down the road, that's a couple years down the road, that's really going to cost us. Like I said, an increase annually for the next 30 years or for 30 years of about $30 million or so in debt service.
Now, that's all before, we hear so much about the arena. Now, I know that's on the city. Would the county ever have to chip in for any kind of repairs or renewals to the arena downtown?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, and it's a question that's being discussed right now. I mean, I think that that the team, since the same owner for the Bills and the Sabres, I think they're still focused on the new stadium. But there is more and more talk of opening up negotiations about renovations for the arena. And would the county have a piece of that? Quite possibly. Remains to be seen.
Kevin, you have all this going on, and you're also running a campaign. We've got less than a month until Election Day. Live coverage here on WBEN. How's the campaign going?
Joe, I want to correct you on that. It's 19 days. It's not less than a month. I'm sorry. Yeah, 19 days.
Yeah,
those of us running don't want another 10 days. We want it over with. How's it going? It's going well. I mean, it's going well. It's something we've done before, and it's important. I just came from an event out in the town of Amherst at the senior center there. They had a debate going on for the town board seats there, and Erie County legislator and comptroller. And the League of Women Voters did a fantastic job. I mean, the moderator there was fantastic. I think everybody that was in attendance found out where the candidates stand on the issues that matter to them. And that's how it should be. So this democracy thing, by the way, is expensive. We're going to start up in a week from Saturday. We're going to start up early voting. We'll have, I think, 37 sites throughout the county. Everybody should take advantage of this because it's costing a lot of money. But, democracy has a price, and this is a lot smaller price than the one that, are paid by some people, that ultimate price that we talk about so often. This is important that people take advantage of their opportunities to vote. We're anticipating, record low turnout this year, which is sad. People come out, they vote for president, they vote for governor next year, but they tend to stay home in the local election years. And that's really where their vote matters the most, because one vote probably isn't going to sway the presidential election or the gubernatorial election. But in some of these town council races, one vote means a lot.
For sure. I think, Kevin? I think more people would show up if more candidates would come on the Joe Beamer show. I think that is a direct correlation.
Well, I think it would be better if Joe Beamer had like 8 hours a day rather than just the two they're giving you. But you've got the foot in the door, Joe. You'll expand upon that. You'll creep up. The other guys won't see you coming. They'll lose a minute here, a minute there. You got this, Joe.
Don't,
you got this.
Don't tell them my plan, Kevin. Hey.
That's your strategy, yes.
I always appreciate you volunteering your time and your availability. And I know we'll talk again before Election Day. And thanks again for joining me on such short notice.
You're welcome, Joe. Thanks for thinking of me.
That is Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. His opponent, Christine Czarnik, will be on Hardline this Sunday at 11. So you heard what the comptroller says about the budget. His opponent, Christine Czarnik, will be on Hardline again 11 o'clock Sunday. We'll get her thoughts on the budget, the campaign, and all that. Again, trying to spotlight as many local elections as possible on Hardline. We have a candidate for Grand Island Council who reached out. We're hoping to get them on the show Sunday. Again, if you're running in a local election or you're supporting a candidate that you want to hear on Hardline, email me, joe.beamer@wben.com. I want to get as many local elections featured on Hardline as we lead up to the election. So the call is still out there. But as I said, this weekend, we will have the Republican candidate for comptroller, Christine Czarnik, and again, hoping to have one or two people running in Grand Island for openings there. But we still have some open space on the schedule. joe.beamer@wben.com will get you on Hardline.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.